want to speak to you on standing fast in the liberty that we have in Christ. And that is what Paul the Apostle is going to tell the Galatians here. Because of their drift away from Jesus Christ and the drift away from the truth, and drift away from the gospel. And so he is encouraging them to stand fast. And that's what I encourage all of you to do here this morning, is to stand fast. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy towards us. God, you are the Almighty God. You are our Creator. You made all things. You've given us all things. Lord, I pray that we would look to you this morning for guidance and for wisdom. God, I pray that you'd help me to preach this morning. Help me to say what needs to be said. Help me to forget anything that doesn't need to be said. I pray that you'd feed us this morning with your word and help us to understand it and strengthen us by it. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll look at the first six verses. And Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is in debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Are you willing to stand fast in the faith of Jesus Christ, in the liberty that is found in Jesus Christ? He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." It's a specific kind of liberty that you find in Jesus Christ. He spoke last week about how freedom is not free, and yet to fight for it. And Paul the Apostle is saying, look, stand fast in the liberty, and this is a specific kind of liberty, the liberty that you find in Jesus Christ and that you find in the gospel is a liberty to do right. It is a liberty to love God and to follow God and to do what is right according to God's word. It's not a liberty to do whatever you want to do. Because if you and I follow our own sinful desires and our own sinful flesh, you're going back to bondage. And it's not real liberty. And the only way that you and I can find true liberty is in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the gospel, and that's why the gospel is so pertinent. But Abraham Lincoln said, he said, "Be sure to put your feet in the right place and then stand firm." And that's what the Galatians had not done. They had put their feet in the right place in the beginning, but they didn't stand firm. They left. They went away. They capitulated. They listened to some false teachers, and now they're no longer standing firm in that place that they once were, that place of liberty. To stand fast means to firmly remain in the same position or keep the same opinion. And the Galatians hadn't done that. They have now moved positions. They have now gone away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have gone from freedom to bondage. Different position, not the same. They had gone from a place of truth to a place of lies. They had gone from a place of purity to a place of perversion. They are now believing in a perverted gospel that has been added to and has been perverted. And so Paul wrote to them, and he's trying to exhort them and encourage them to stand fast in what they believed. And so Paul is coming off of his statements in chapter number 4, and he proved conclusively from the Scriptures how to be children of the free. And his foundation for his statements have always been the Word of God. He has always used the Bible or the Scriptures to prove to the Galatians that they are children of the free. He doesn't go outside of the Scriptures. He doesn't go to anything else to try and prove that they are children of the free. No, Paul uses the Scriptures as his foundation to convince them and to prove to them that they are children of the free. And now he starts off his chapter, in chapter number 5, he says, "Stand fast, therefore." Therefore, because of the things that I have been telling you in the last two chapters, now you need to stand fast in what I have been talking to you about. And he used the Scriptures as his foundation. So he has laid the foundation of justification in chapters number 3 and chapter number 4. And he says, now that you have been justified, and now that you know that you are children of the free, now there are some things that you need to do. And this is the way Paul starts off all of his letters. He tells them who they are in Christ, and now what they need to do, how they need to act. Being a Christian does have real life implications. There are some things that we must do after we are saved. Salvation is not just being saved from hell. Salvation is not just making some kind of profession in faith and that's it, and then that's all there is to salvation. That's not all there is. Amen. Salvation includes a lot more than just justification. Salvation includes a lot more than just being saved from hell. Amen. So now that we are saved, does that mean that we can live any way that we want to live? I mean, by the way, we're free. We have liberty.
Yeah, come on.
Can we just do whatever we want to do now? Well, Paul would say, no, there's some things that must be understood now that we are Christians. Salvation doesn't start the day that you die and go to heaven. That's not all there is to salvation. That's great.
Amen.
Wonderful. I'm glad. But it's not just confined to the doctrine of justification. Now, Paul is going to say there's a whole life that must be lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's going to start talking about for the next two chapters, is the Spirit-filled life of the believer. Now that we are saved, we should live right. And so he's going to talk about false doctrine and the spiritual dangers that are associated with believing false doctrine. It does make a difference what we believe. And if you and I believe false doctrine, you're headed down the wrong road. You're going the wrong way, and that's what was wrong with the Galatians there. And so we must stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ, not in order to obtain liberty, but because we are free, because we have that liberty. The liberty that we have in Christ enables us to live the way that we ought to live as Christians. That is Paul's entire message to every church that he writes to. He writes to them and says, look, this is who you are. You are a Christian. This is your identity. You are saved. Now go forward in that knowledge, in that belief, and in that faith. So what must you and I do to be able to stand fast in the liberty that we have? Why should we stand fast in the liberty that we find in Christ? Well, Paul gives us three reasons why we should stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ. Number one, we stand fast in the liberty that we have because of what is at stake. Because of what is at stake. Number two, because of what is ahead for us. And number three, because of what is inside of us. We must stand fast in that liberty, number one, because of what is at stake. You and I have a lot to lose if we don't stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ. And Paul is concerned for the Galatians, and he's saying, hey man, there's a lot at stake if you don't stand fast in the liberty that you have. There's some consequences for not believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and for not obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's some things that are at stake for the Galatians. Well, the benefits of salvation through Christ are at stake. He says in verse number 2, he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He says, if you are depending upon circumcision for salvation, Jesus Christ is not going to profit you anything. So by their walk away from the gospel, they are not availing themselves of the benefits that are found in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, hey, you got some things that you're throwing away by walking away from Jesus Christ and walking away from the gospel. In order for the gospel, in order for Jesus Christ to benefit us in salvation, it must be in Christ and in Christ alone. It can't be Jesus Christ plus something else. And they were trying to add one thing to salvation, and that was circumcision. And Paul says, you're perverting the gospel, and Christ is not going to benefit you if you add something to the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so those who would say, hey, the gospel is Jesus Christ plus one other thing, you are not availing yourself of the benefits that are found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. You can't add anything to the gospel. So they're throwing away basically their ability or their benefits of salvation. Christ will profit you nothing, he says. They're throwing away their rest in Christ. He says in verse number 3 that those who would try to keep the law in order to be saved, they are indebted to do the whole law. Now they were trying to do one thing, and that was circumcision. And Paul says, hey, you can't just do one thing. It can't just be circumcision. Hey, you have to do the rest of it. You have to do the other 600 and whatever commandments there are in the Old Testament. Not just one thing. You're indebted to do the whole law. And we find our rest in Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ has already fulfilled the law for us. He himself came and says, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law for us. And Paul is saying, hey, it's not just one thing. You've got to do the rest of it. Not just one commandment, but the whole thing. You don't have any rest in Christ if you're trying to add something to salvation. And so Paul says, look, you're throwing away your rest in Christ. The book of James gives us an inverted view of this when he says that if you break one of the commandments of the law, you've already broken all of them. It's either black or white, one or the other. You can't do one without the other. It says in James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So you break those laws. So when you start adding laws and requirements for salvation, you forfeit the rest that is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest, and you and I find that rest in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And Paul says, man, you're going to walk away from that? You're going to walk away from the rest that is found in Jesus Christ by adding circumcision to that? What are you doing? So they were throwing away those two things, and then again, the grace of God that is found through Jesus Christ. Verse number 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Paul the Apostle says, hey, you've thrown away the grace of God. There's some things at stake for you whenever you add something to the gospel of Christ, throwing away the grace of God that is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. He says you are fallen from grace. So the grace of God is not available to someone who is trying to work for their salvation. Paul had touched on this earlier in his epistle in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness has come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He says, whenever you try to work for your salvation, you are frustrating the grace of God. You are frustrating the God who is trying to be good to you and gracious to you by giving you that salvation that is free and clear. Not only that, you devalue the gift. There was a large price that was paid for the salvation that each and every one of us have. This verse right here, it says, in verse number 4, it says, you are fallen from grace. It's been taught by different false segments of Christianity that one will lose their salvation. They'll fall from grace. They teach that if you sin bad enough or you do something bad enough that you will fall from grace. That's not what the verse is teaching there. The fall from grace is to reject the free gift of grace that is found in Christ and to try and justify yourself by works. In other words, trying to work for your salvation is someone who is falling from grace, which is exactly what they are trying to do in these false religions. They're always trying to work for their salvation. So Paul is not teaching a loss of salvation. What he's teaching here is the difference between someone who's saved and someone who's lost. Someone who is saved is someone who is trusting in the grace of God and they are receiving that grace. And someone who is lost is someone who is rejecting that grace and trying to work for their salvation. So there's a lot at stake for the Galatians there as they reject this grace that has been given to them. No one, I believe, can lose their salvation because the grace of God is what salvation is based on. So what's at stake for us if we do not stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ? Well, your very soul is at stake, ladies and gentlemen. Heaven is at stake. Eternity is at stake. Because if you reject Jesus Christ, there is a real, literal burning hell that you will go to if you do not accept Jesus Christ, if you do not believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a lot at stake right there. What else is at stake? The souls of others are at stake. Because each and every one of us have an influence on other people, don't we? And if we don't stand for the truth and we don't stand for what the Word of God has to say, other people are watching us. And they see our influence and we are an influence on them. If we walk away from the gospel, they're going to be seeing that. If we walk away from our liberty that we have in Christ, they're going to see that. And each and every one of us have an influence on someone. Fathers, you have an influence on your children. Fathers, you have an influence. Husbands, you have an influence on your wives. If they see you walking away from the gospel and they see you walking away from the Bible, you're going to have an influence on them as well. Mothers, you have an influence on your husbands and your children. And if they see you not standing fast in the liberty that you have in Christ and what the Word of God has to say, you'll be an influence on them. So a lot is at stake if we don't stand fast in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because every one of us influenced something. We saw this earlier in the book of Galatians with Peter's hypocrisy and how that he had influenced others by not taking a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here are the Galatians, and they had been influenced by false teachers and false prophets because they had been teaching a false gospel. So we must stand fast for what is at stake in the present. But in addition, we must also stand fast for what is ahead for the Christian. We must stand fast in the liberty because of what lies ahead for us as Christians. He says in verse number 5, he says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." That's a very important statement right there and a very, very important verse. There's a lot of things in that verse right there. But Paul tells us that there is something ahead in the future for which we are waiting as Christians. He says, we are waiting for the hope of righteousness. And we are waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith, by believing in Christ, by believing the gospel. So the waiting, the hope, the righteousness, and the faith come through the Holy Spirit. You and I have something in the future that we are looking forward to, and it is the hope of righteousness that you and I are looking forward to. And if we not stand fast in the gospel, in the liberty that is found in Christ, you know what we're doing? We're saying all of our hope is right here in the right now, in the present. The Galatian believers had been being taught that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. In other words, they had to establish their own personal righteousness through good works and be circumcised and achieve perfection right now in this life by becoming a Jew. But can I tell you something here this morning? The hope of righteousness for the child of God is something that is yet future that we are looking for. We're not looking for perfection right now in this life. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I don't believe that we can attain sinless perfection right now in this life. But what they were being taught is that you can achieve sinless perfection by keeping the law and circumcising the outside of the body. But it's not going to happen. Sinless perfection will not happen in this life. Paul the Apostle wrote about this in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. And he says that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Even us as creatures, you know what we are doing? We are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are waiting for the completion of our salvation at the resurrection. That's what we're waiting for. We are waiting for the display of righteousness when our Savior comes. Amen. That's what we're waiting for. And if we get wrapped up in fixing up the outside of ourselves and attaching that to salvation, and we forget about Jesus Christ, and we forget about His coming, and we forget about the resurrection and the coming of Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen? We're going to take our focus off the wrong thing. We're going to start looking at this life as though we are going to attain perfection in this life. But we have been justified, yes. And we ought to live godly lives, yes. But sinless perfection, not in this life. Not until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen. The Apostle John said in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So we have a hope in the future, and our hope is becoming like Jesus Christ, but it's not going to happen in this life. Do you know why we're hoping in that? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us that out in us. And that's what the problem with the great Galatians. They're trying to fix up this body on the outside. People do it all the time. People are rooted and grounded in this life, in this earth, in fleshly things, and they have forgotten about their Savior. They do it all the time. They do it with plastic surgery. Do you know why? Because that's all they have. That's all they have. That's the way lost people live. Lost people only have this life. Lost people only have this body. Lost people only have their cars and their houses and their money and their bank account and their 401k accounts. All those things. I'm not against any of those things. Those things are great. But that's all they have. They have this little kingdom. That's all they have. They're not looking for something forward in the future. They're trying to achieve perfection now. And it's not going to happen. Not by a long shot. But we are looking for something forward in the future, some kind of perfection in the future that comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now, Paul the Apostle wrote about this in Philippians chapter number 3, and he warned the Philippian believers about false teachers who come to them, and he says, their God is their belly. Their God is their belly. Amen. Who mind earthly things. Yeah. But you know what he said? In contrast to that, our conversation is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior. Our life is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior. Now listen to what he says next. He says, who shall change our vile body? Like, so that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And what are the Galatians being taught? You better fix up your body now. You better perfect that body now, because that's all you got. Do all those outward things. And salvation is not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. It's an inward thing. And so what happens? Christians can fall into this mindset very easily. We forget about our Savior coming. We forget about the hope that we have. We forget about Jesus Christ coming back, and we start hanging our hopes on things here upon this earth. And we become attached to all of these earthly things, trying to achieve sinless perfection. But what happens when we do this? Well, we have a mindset of self-salvation. We can become our own saviors. We forget about Jesus Christ. It produces self-righteousness and superiority. It puts the focus on ourselves and not on God, and we start putting our faith in ourselves and in our abilities instead of on God. And it puts the focus on the here and now and the temporal, instead of waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to stand fast in the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, because it is an inward thing. Thirdly, we must stand fast in the faith, in the liberty that we have in Christ, because we have something on the inside of us that is propelling us forward as a Christian. He says in verse number 6,
He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. We must stand fast in liberty, and we are able to stand fast in the liberty because of what is on the inside of us. This is Paul's ministry to churches. And he's telling them, you live the Christian life by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have a heart change on the inside. And that's the reason that you can stand fast and that you must stand fast is because of the Holy Spirit that you have on the inside of us. And if we, you and I, are to be truly free in Christ, there has to be a heart change. There has to be a new love on the inside. There has to be a heart change on the inside of us. And faith in Christ works love in our hearts towards God. That's why we believe the gospel. That's why we have love for God on the inside. It's our faith in God. It's our faith in the gospel. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. You guys recognize and realize and remember what is the first and greatest commandment of all? Summation of the entire Old Testament law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible says that God looks upon the heart of man and He looks to see what's on the inside of us, and you and I must have a heart transformation on the inside of us. If there is not a heart transformation on the inside of us, there is not salvation. There's not salvation. Anybody can turn over a new leaf. Anybody can change their mind. Anybody can change their lives for a couple of weeks, couple of years, remake themselves into a new person, but it takes heart transformation on the inside in order to be saved. Amen. You think about what the Galatians are being told here. The Galatians are being told that they must be circumcised in order to be saved. Now listen to me. Circumcision was given to the Jews, but it was not given to the Jews so that they could love God. That's not why it was given to them. Circumcision was given to the Jews as a sign of the covenant between Abraham and God. Amen. That's why it was given. And there they are trying to revert, put the cart before the horse. Try and say, well, if we do this, then we can love God. No, it doesn't have anything to do with it. Do the same thing. They do the same thing today in different religions. Look, if you'll get baptized, then you can love God. Baptism is only a sign of your salvation. That's all it is. It's only a picture of your salvation. It doesn't save you. It doesn't make you love God any more than that. Nothing. It's only a sign of our salvation. And so becoming circumcised and being a Jew was not what made them a child of God. You know what made them a child of, you know what made them the children of Israel, God's people? The promise of God. That is what made them God's people. And so there they are trying to fulfill this. They've got the cart before the horse. The Jews were the people of God because God said, you are my people and you will be my people. And so they were trying to affect their salvation by something that they were doing on the outside. And God said, no, it's got to be something on the inside. It's got to be a change of heart on the inside. Salvation is something that comes to us and it affects us on the inside, deep down in our hearts. It's a heart change. It's a love. Our affections are changed. Our hearts are changed whenever we are saved. That's why we must stand fast for the liberty that we have in Christ. Paul, again, in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, he says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. It's on the inside. And that circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God, a circumcised heart on the inside. You know what that means? That means that you are tender towards the commandments of God, or willing to obey God, willing to love God. It is a heart transformation on the inside. Verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter whether you get circumcised or you don't get circumcised. Not about that. Not about that. It's about faith, which worketh by love. Paul the Apostle says, the just shall live by faith. life of God is imparted to us through faith. The love of God is imparted to us through faith. Amen. It is by faith. You ever read the faith chapter? You ever see all the things that people did in the faith chapter? All the things that they accomplished, they did it by faith. They did it by faith. And so Paul is saying here, the just shall live by faith. The lawgiver comes to live on the inside of our hearts. And so we must stand firm in the liberty that is found in Christ. Then you know what we can do. We can love God the way that we are commanded to love Him. How can you love a God that you don't know personally? You can't. How can you love a God, and how can I love a God who has not displayed His love to you first in a personal and intimate way? It's impossible. We can't. You can't love God outside of the gospel. You can't love God outside of Christianity. We must love God, and then we can love our neighbor as ourselves, and then we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ as we are commanded to love them. It says in John chapter 13, verse number 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Amen. Love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is the defining characteristic of a Christian, of a child of God. So how do we stand firm in this liberty that we have in Christ? You better keep your eyes on the Savior. Amen. You better keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, because the Galatians had been dragged away from their Savior and they had been pointed to another man. They had been pointed to Moses. They'd been pointed to some other biblical figure. Now, yes, we need to know about Moses. We need to learn about Moses. We need to know about all of that. But Moses is not our Savior. Amen. Moses is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And so instead of looking to Jesus Christ, they were now looking to Moses. And instead of going to Mount Calvary, they had gone to Mount Sinai instead. Wrong mountain. And so they had gone to the wrong place. Instead of looking to Jesus Christ, they had looked to themselves. Look, what can we do to save ourselves? Instead of looking to the cross and looking to Jesus Christ, you better keep your eyes on the Savior if you want to stand firm in the liberty that is found in Christ. You better quit looking to secularism instead of Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ, we find all wisdom and all knowledge that we need. And then secondly, we must look to the Scriptures. We must look to the Bible. The Galatians were being led astray by so-called Bible believers and Scriptures. And these teachers that apparently knew the Old Testament, but they were distorting the Scriptures, and the Galatians didn't know the difference between the two. And so we better get our noses in the Bible. We better recognize what the Bible has to say. That's why we need to come to church on a regular basis, so we can figure out what God has to say and get some good, solid teaching. If all you get is just 1 hour here or there, you're not going to get a whole lot. You'll get some, yes, but you better know what the Word of God has to say. Because if not, you'll be led astray very easily. So if you were listening to a Bible teacher or a preacher, would you know the difference if he was perverting the Scriptures? Or could you be led astray? We better get close to the Bible, close to the Word of God, and stand fast in the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. You and I must be diligent about studying and about knowing what God has to say in His Word, so we will not believe a perverted gospel that others teach. And there's plenty of them out there, I guarantee you. Plenty of perverted gospels out there. So it's impossible for you and I to stand fast if we don't know what the Scriptures teach. Are you standing fast in the liberty that is found in Christ? Because if you are stepping away from Jesus Christ, you're stepping away from the Scriptures. That's one step closer to bondage. One step closer to bondage. Stepping away from Jesus Christ means stepping towards bondage. Stepping away from Jesus Christ is stepping towards your sin and unrighteousness, which will in turn lead you to bondage. Like I said at the beginning, liberty in Christ is liberty to do what's right, not to do whatever you want to do or whatever I want to do. Amen. But it's to follow God the way that we were meant to follow Him, the way that we were meant to glorify Him and honor Him. We don't want to do right just to be moral people. We don't want to do right. We don't want to obey God just so we can say that we did right. That's not the reason we do right. We're not being moral just for the sake of being moral people. That's what atheists do. We do right because we want to glorify and honor God. That's the reason that we do right. And that's the only reason that we ought to do right. And you can't do that unless you are saved, unless you are a born-again Christian, child of God. You can't do that. You and I must stand firm in that liberty that we find in Him. I'd encourage you, each and every one of you, stand firm in that liberty this morning. Let's pray.